we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Robinhood accounts hacked and looted with no support. Microsoft and U.S. Cyber Command both attack the TrickBot botnet. The IRS investigated for using location data without a warrant. And Google delists and then relists the Great Barrington Declaration. Hey everybody, Mark Jeftovic here with another episode of the Access of Easy Weekly Digest. This is number 167, recording this on October the 12th. Happy Thanksgiving to all you Canadians, and I think it's Columbus Day in the U.S., although I don't know if it's a holiday. I don't think it is. So that means the show notes would be at accessofeasy.com/167. And here are the quotes. Last week it was, "Journalism possesses in itself the potentiality of becoming one of the most frightful monstrosities and delusions that have ever cursed mankind. This horrible transformation will occur at the exact instant at which journalists realize that they can become an aristocracy." Nobody got that one, and it was G.K. Chesterton. This week's quote is, "When a population becomes distracted by trivia, when cultural life is redefined as a perpetual round of entertainments, when serious public conversation becomes a form of baby talk, when, in short, people become an audience and their public business a vaudeville act, then a nation finds itself at risk. Culture death is a clear possibility." You know the rules, no searching this up online, and the first person to post the correct source of the quote to the show notes page gets their next domain or web hosting renewal on the house. Okay, so Robinhood accounts hacked and looted, support AWOL. Details are emerging how multiple Robinhood users are seeing their accounts get hacked, then all their positions get liquidated, and the money gets withdrawn. And it gets quite horrific because they have to watch this happen in slow motion. It takes time for these withdrawals to take place, but they open a ticket with support. They get an autoresponder back that says, "We investigate these claims over a period of weeks." Apparently, there's no live support, like live phone support, which I guess makes sense because Robinhood has no commissions. It's a free platform. It looks like the attack vector is credential stuffing, and that's when you reuse the passwords for your accounts across multiple sites. One of those sites gets hacked, the password gets leaked and shared, and then they find out what other sites you've used that password on, and they're in. So don't reuse your passwords. Microsoft and U.S. Cyber Command both tackle the TrickBot botnet. So we've mentioned TrickBot before, usually in connection with a ransomware attack. It forms a massive global botnet, which in the words of Brian Krebs, quote, "a global menace that has infected millions of computers and is used to spread ransomware," end quote. So over the last week or so, a couple of entities did battle with the botnet. Apparently, they're trying to get into position to thwart it from being able to be used to interfere with the U.S. elections next month. The first was the U.S. Cyber Command, which is a division of the U.S. Department of Defense. It's headed by the head of the National Security Agency. They got inside the TrickBot command and control, and on at least two occasions, they sent orders to all the infected Windows computers to disconnect from the network. They also flooded the TrickBot database with millions of bogus records on new fake victims. On another front, Microsoft resorted to legal means, specifically using trademark law, and they had a Virginia court grant them an order giving them control over numerous internet servers worldwide, which they then executed in conjunction with numerous telecoms. I don't quite know how that works across jurisdictions, but apparently they've done it. Microsoft is no stranger to legal tactics such as these. In 2014, they obtained a court order from a Reno, Nevada court to seize 22 domain names operated by NoIP, a dynamic DNS provider based in that state. I know the guy who runs it, Dan Durer, super nice guy. I remember when he was going through that very stressful time. Microsoft's order overshot like crazy. They caused a lot of collateral damage. They finally admitted their error and backed off. So hopefully they've learned from that experience and they didn't overstep the scope this time. German giant Software AG's internal network offline in a ransomware attack. So the German enterprise software giant Software AG is down in a ransomware attack. Hackers penetrated the company's internal network on October 3rd and encrypted everything, demanding a $20 million ransom for the decryption key. The company attempted to negotiate with them. The ransomware group is called Klopp, and those negotiations look like they failed. The attackers started posting screenshots of the internal corporate data to a dark web leak site. On Monday, October 5th, the company announced it was experiencing internal outages due to a malware attack, but that no customer-facing services were impacted. A couple days later, on the 7th, they had to disclose that they were now aware of a data theft in connection with the attack. That $20 million ransom is one of the highest amounts ever disclosed in an attack of this type. Google delists, then relists call by medical practitioners to end the lockdowns. On October 4th, a group of epidemiologists and public healthcare scientists released a petition now known as the Great Barrington Declaration. It's named after the city where the think tank that sponsored it is based, and it called for an approach called focused protection to battling the coronavirus pandemic as opposed to continuing lockdowns. To date, it has over 8,700 medical and health scientist signatures, over 22,000 medical practitioners, and nearly 400,000 concerned citizens at the time that I wrote the newsletter. The mainstream media was seemingly quick to paint it with a brush of quackery and climate denialism, despite its credentials of the authors. They're from places like Harvard and Yale, and I can't remember where the other one was from. But it also seemed to be memory-holed by Google. So when internet searchers looked for the Great Barrington Declaration on alternative search engines like DuckDuckGo and Bing, those search engines returned the main website and the Wikipedia entry for it as the top hits, which is normal for pretty well anything, but not for Google, which instead listed as top news hits a bunch of attack pieces and hit pieces, and the Wikipedia entry and the Great Barrington Declaration homepage were in most of my tests pushed back down to page 4 or 5 in the search results. Some Google users were opening multiple support threads on support.google.com, wondering why the site, which was indexed normally in Google the day before, was suddenly missing. Then about a day after this absence began circulating on social media, the Google results suddenly reverted back to normal. So it's possible that there's a completely innocuous explanation for the anomaly, but at the same time, the moderators of the two largest subreddits dealing with coronavirus, rCOVID-19 and rCoronavirus, explicitly removed the threads talking about the Great Barrington Declaration. Meanwhile, since all of this happened, in the intervening time, the World Health Organization's special envoy on COVID-19, David Nabarro, stated in an interview with the UK Spectator TV that governments worldwide should not be continuing to use lockdowns. He advocated a strategy called Middle Way, which sounded a lot like the Great Barrington Declaration's focused protection. And the former FDA director Scott Gottlieb appeared on CNBC on October 11th, and he said while lockdowns were justified in the early innings because of lack of awareness and we didn't really know what was going on, there is little reason to continue with them now. So I do remember those two California doctors who said exactly that back in April, and they were deplatformed for saying it and widely reviled in the media. So the reason I bring all this up here is to say that when people and entities attempt to squelch dialogue and manipulate the narrative, bad outcomes happen. Mathematicians against AI and predictive policing. So speaking of letters and declarations, over 2,000 data scientists and mathematicians have signed a joint letter calling for a cessation of collaboration with police forces. Quote, they are organizing a wide base of mathematicians in the hopes of cutting off police technologies at their source. The letter's authors cite deep concerns over the use of machine learning, AI, and facial recognition technologies to justify and perpetuate oppression. End quote. So with increasing calls to defund the police, one of the unintended consequences may be increased usage of AI and so-called predictive policing by the police, since it's more cost-effective to use it. The latter, though, according to critics, is fraught with inherent bias, including racial profiling. IRS investigated for using location data without warrant. So back in Axis of Easy 151, we ran a piece on the U.S. Internal Revenue Service having purchased smartphone location data from a company called Ventel for use in criminal investigations. They didn't find what they were looking for in that data and they discontinued use. But despite that, that move seems to have earned them some scrutiny from the U.S. Inspector General's office after Senators Ron Wyden and Elizabeth Warren demanded an investigation. So it looks like the IRS Criminal Investigations Unit, they purchased that data without a warrant, and you're kind of supposed to have one of those. As for Ventel, they're one of the companies we talked about back in Axis of Easy number 158. They release free SDKs, which is software development kits that developers use to kickstart their app development, sort of cut down the time to market. But the trade-off is those SDKs gather data through all those apps that use it, and then they sell it to clients like government agencies. The SDKs used in harmless-looking apps like games and weather and shopping, while their paying clients are furnished a utility that enables them to see which devices are in a specific house or address. That's kind of scary. Quick error correction, though, on the last Axis of Easy Salon, number 25, I mentioned Ron Wyden, and I said he was a Republican. He's not. He's a Dem senator from Oregon. Tired anti-copyright and wired post-copyright. So this week on the Axis of Easy Salon, number 25, Jesse, Charles, and myself ended up talking a lot about copyright, what it means to be a content creator in this environment. And ironically, after we spliced in a nod to the late, great Eddie Van Halen at the end of the episode, YouTube went beyond the usual demonetization. They actually blocked access to the video entirely. I mean, it's not Axis of Easy Salon gets demonetized all the time, and it doesn't matter because we don't make any money on it. But it was kind of weird that they just completely blocked it this time. So I had to re-edit it, take out the reference to Eddie Van Halen, got it back up. So check it out. And this coming week on the Axis of Easy Salon, number 26, coming out this Thursday, or we're taping it this Thursday, we will have Dr. Ben Hunt from Epsilon Theory as a guest on the show. Very excited about that. Hope to see you there. And that is it for this week. So the show notes for this week's edition, once again, accessofeasy.com/167. And stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane, and we'll see you all next week. Rhymes with your fresh. You're just a whore, but it's yours.